Eulogy for Jean-Paul Joseph Albert Tassé, 1927 to 2013. One could measure the success of a man's life by the other lives he has touched and the number of people who have loved him. This metric, though, is often hard to quantify. But looking over at all of you who came today, I think the answer is self-evident. As I started to write this eulogy, I wondered how I would ever sum up 86 years of his life. I realized no matter what I come up with to say about him, it won't do justice to the scope of his life, for he had a full life and was loved by many, but none more than my lovely mother, his wife, Rita. As we collectively say goodbye to my father, and say all the things we love so much about him, I just want you to imagine that laugh, that smile of his, and picture him playing a prank on someone. And that's as good a place to start as any, because my father was a prankster. I remember one time of many in Montreal when we were home, and Mom was just coming in from work. We were in the living room, and when Mom went in the bedroom to get changed, he motioned to my sister and I to gather at the bedroom door. All we heard was a thump, and then Dad's laughter. What we did not know was that Dad had sewn Mom's one pant leg up so that when she went to put on her pants, she would lose her balance and fall. We laughed, and all Dad got was, Jean-Paul. Dad had a great life. He always said he liked the path he took in life. Using the terms of today, Dad was a player. But even as good of a player that he may have been in his day, he never matched the tenacious stick handling of my mother. It was like Montreal playing Toronto, and poor Dad was Toronto. 2 years after they met, and with some fancy backroom lobbying with her parents, Dad and Mom got married. They have never looked back since. To cement their union, they got remarried twice over the course of 63 years. My dad was a military man, and we grew up in a military family. In 1942, he joined the military as a boy soldier, around 15 years old, to fight for his country. He would have left the military after the war, but as fate had it, there were two lines at Lansdowne Park, one to re-enlist and one to get out. He thought he was in the I'm getting out line. Looking over his papers, I can understand the confusion. He was discharged from the militia in 1945 and then re-enrolled in the regular force. They sent him to Kingston, and from there, Tassé history was made. Dad also ensured that he remained in contact with people he had met throughout his career. Some may be here today. He loved the military and served for 36 years. While in the military, we got transferred to many different places. My mother never once complained and amazed my dad, as she would always come back telling him that she had a new job either at a new location they had just transferred to or found a new job closer to home. His military life could not have been more rewarding, as he shared it with a supportive wife. I remember my father at the kitchen table studying to improve his trade qualifications and my mother helping him learn. They were a team. My mother's motto was always, the show must go on. And anyone who knows my mother and father know that they live that motto. Dad felt he could conquer the world with the support he was getting. And in fact, he did. One heart at a time. He loved my mother, and with every bone in his body, his visible affection overcoming his usual reserve. I have been married for 36 years, my parents for 63. Same numbers, but different meaning. Dad loved his wife. The word love we hear every day. Same word, but a different meaning for Dad. Dad's unfaltering support for Mom's personal development in her career and in life created the perfect balance, producing a loving childhood for my sisters and I that today seems like a lost Canadian dream. Dad also loved his video games. When my mother would go to bed, Dad would put on his war helmet and kiss my mother goodbye, telling her he is off to war. It always amazed me when he would tell me that he played online for hours with Matthew, Thomas, Tyler, Clinton, and others. Age was not a limiting factor. When Dad asked if I played games, I told Dad, not really. Even when playing racing cars on my PlayStation with my grandson Joshua, who was 8 by the way, I seemed to get beat. Dad would love to make videos and still pictures all the time. That is most likely where I got my introduction to photography. All the time you would see him with his video camera in his hand taking movies, preserving family memories. Most of the still pictures I have of him have a protrusion coming from his right eye with the brand name Sony marked on it. Father's Day, when he was healthy, he would spend the morning with me, his son-in-law Rob, and when Rob's dad was alive, he would be there also. We looked forward to that day, rain or shine. Golf in the morning, and then later the families would meet. But I didn't have to share him with anyone during those 4 hours. Though Rob would never let me win, I didn't have to in order to be a son who felt loved. Dad and Mom had many invitations to go on trips with my sisters and family. In fact, they just returned from a trip with Pauline and family in Punta Cana that Dad really enjoyed. Jared and family brought them out many times also, and I went on their boat, which I still to this day found fast and made me realize I chose well, having joined the military in the Army and not Navy element. But when thinking about trips and Dad, I must count myself extremely lucky, as I had Dad for 1 week in Berlin. While there, he taught me many things, but the lessons he taught me were not just historical. I understand why my sisters always wanted to have him close. I would have liked much more alone time, but I will always remember the precious time that I did have. I haven't quite yet come to terms with the fact that I will never have another conversation with my father again. I am sure I share that with many of you. But Berlin was not the first time I found myself in a different country with my dad. In 1974, both Dad and I were deployed to Ismailia, Egypt, one of the first father and son teams to do so. I arrived a few weeks after he did. At that time, I was a mere private and he was a sergeant. When I landed on Wednesday, he greeted me and told me that on the weekend, we would go to visit Alexandria. When I asked him about this, he said that he had talked with my boss, that I haven't even met yet, and sorted this all out. Well, not long after that, I got transferred to the Golden Heights in Israel. It didn't take long, though, for Dad to come and meet me there, though he claimed it was business. Not soon after, Dad asked if we could meet in Cairo. When I asked why, he stated that Mom was coming down. I went. We spent Christmas 1974 listening to a Rothman show for the troops in Ismailia. My parents roamed Egypt, Israel, Syria, and Lebanon. And for the records, I went back to work. No wonder he was called the Roving RQ. He fought heart problems, loss of a few fingertips, and cancer. But even as he was fighting against cancer with more strength and courage and honesty than I can imagine, all he really wanted to do was to go home and help Mom. My father talked about the memories that we have all provided him. He never quite accepted his own greatness, all he had done, all the lies he profoundly changed. I wish he could have been here today, if only to see the incredible good he did in our world and those who traveled far to wish him safe journey. I wish that Dad had, I was happy that Dad had a beautiful hospice at Monsieur Framasavoie for his final days. The day after he got there, we were talking on the phone, and he was telling me that I had to come down and hear these fantastic musicians as they played and sang for the residents. Well, the next scheduled event, I was down there and listened to them. My dad cried. My dad was moved. They were literally tears of joy. We would not, could not thank them enough. We had a family picture taken, and unbeknownst to us, that was to be our last. My father had a quiet dignity, respecting himself the way he respected others. As he faced his final days, his body ravaged with cancer, he never had one moment of self-pity. The day before he passed, when I sat by his bed and asked him how he was doing, he gave the same answer he gave every time he was asked a question, a thumbs up. On the 3rd of November, I was at home, having returned from seeing Dad the day prior. My son Thomas and his girlfriend Ashley had been visiting my dad when he called me saying that Grandpa was not looking good. Soon after, my sister called and said that I needed to return to the hospice. Sharon and I left from Kingston. Upon our arrival, I was told that Dad had passed a mere 20 minutes before we arrived. Of course, I knew what had happened before any words were exchanged. Before that, however, in the moment when his soul left his body, I did not feel the universe change. I did not feel Dad's presence leave me, nor do I feel it now. Sure, our world is a little less bright, since we'll miss his conversation, his laugh, his counsel, his ability to buffer situations. But his spirit is still with us, in here and in my heart. Will always be close by to listen, to support us when we need it. We are all immeasurably stronger for having him as a part of our lives, and that is all he ever wanted for us. I could try and list the people he impacted and moments shared, but many of those stories are best recounted by those experienced who experienced them yourselves. By most of you, I trust you'll keep those times alive in your hearts to bring you a smile when you need one. I heard so many people tell me stories during the viewing last week that I hope will be perpetuated whenever we talk about Dad. I dabble in genealogy, and I know that if I ask you questions about your parents, you will know the answer. If I ask you about your grandparents, you may know the answer. If I ask you about your great-grandparents, you may or may not know that answer. I challenge you all here to keep my dad's memory alive. Evoke his name in your conversation. Do not be scared to talk about him. His memory stays alive through us. Do not let it go stale. Tell his story. To live in the hearts of those we love is not to die. Thank you, Dad, for being the most incredible father we could have wanted. We miss you, we love you, and we'll talk to you soon.